Oktoberfest was pretty much kind of smooth then, because Francesco did a 12-hour live stream, and then that 12-hour live stream, I broke my phone. I saw it as an avenue that, okay, this is something that people globally do, and there's Twitter where I can actually relate to these people. I mean, they write the same HTML, right? They write the same CSS, yeah. Right? They write the same JavaScript, right? So yeah, if we can relate on that level, that's something.
A lot of people always undermine the power of networking, or just the people, you know, the connections that you know.
Yeah.
Because, for example, someone like you, you didn't have to go through the regular, you know, job applications, submitting resumes, submitting cover letter, waiting and not hearing back that it's unpaid, and you can see that, you know, you can definitely see a learning progression, and take it. Yeah,
thank you.
My name is Esther Adebayo, and on my tech journey with Esther, I sit down with tech folks to talk about how they've been able to handle rejections, overcome obstacles in their careers, and really cut through the hype. From coding mistakes to battling rejections, to balancing work life, and even doing phenomenal things, my guests will share everything raw and real on my tech journey with Esther. New episodes drop every week, so you don't want to miss out. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of My Tech Journey with Esther. Today, I'm very excited because I have a very special guest with me today. I have someone that has been doing really amazing things in the open source field, and he also works as a developer advocate at Million.js. So it's none other than Toby Loba Adedeji.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining me, Toby.
Yeah, thank you very much, Esther. I'm excited to be here, and glad to share my story and talk about literally anything.
Nice. I'm very excited about this conversation, and I'm sure a lot more people will get lots of insights from everything you share today.
Yeah, all right, me too. Cool. Excited. Yeah.
Yeah. So before we jump into the main conversation, I have like a quick question, a fun question to ask you. So I have like a piece of paper here and a piece of paper. Each one has a question. So which would you like to answer? Pick one.
go right.
This one.
Right. Yeah, right. You're right.
My right.
Is the right.
Yeah, this is my right hand.
Only
okay. Oh, you want this one?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cool.
Yeah.
So it's a very simple question. It's just something fun. Let me see. Okay. So it says, if you could have a superpower, what would it be?
Oh yeah, I've actually thought about this before, and I'm glad we're talking about this now. So I think my superpower would be to be fast.
To be fast, like Flash.
Yes.
Why?
Because if I was fast, I could literally do everything that most people would do, and I would do it more, you know, like faster, and I could time travel. So I mean, time traveling is the key part. So yeah, I can like go to the future and then come back and be like, okay, this is a bad decision, don't make it. Let's change the timeline.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think for me, I'll probably be like Superman, Superwoman, being able to do anything at all.
Yeah,
that would be my superpower. Do you watch lots of all this Marvel and this?
Yeah, I do. I'm like a superhero, like huge. I just don't watch anime. I don't watch anime. That's the only thing I don't watch. But anything superhero, I watch them.
Yeah, a huge superhero fan.
Yeah.
Nice, cool. Okay, so let's get straight into it. I know you've done a lot of things in the open source space, like open source. So when we think about open source, you're one of the people that come first to mind. So what really impacted you to be involved in open source? What made you interested in open source?
Yeah, so my journey to open source wasn't actually like really straightforward. Yeah. So okay. During our conversation, most people that are listening might not know, I told you that I'm a UNILAC student. So I went to this boot camp on campus called NITOG, where I trained for 3 months to do front end. So after that, we got an internship. Me and a couple of my guys got an internship to work as software engineer interns here at NITOG. So I work here now as like a software engineer, but you know, other work and stuff, I still have to like split my time in between.
Mm-hmm.
But it was during these periods that I sort of like go on Twitter and I started seeing all these amazing people. I mean, I did a couple of hackathons, like just to try to, you know, like exercise my skills. And I got to discover some of these people, and I saw that they were doing awesome stuff on Twitter. So I was like, okay, Twitter is the place to be. So I went onto Twitter, started like making connections, finding people out. And I was hearing this open source thingy. I think it was Eddie Jowdy, like if you know him from. Yeah, I started like hearing him talking about this thing called open source because I follow Francesco, and from Francesco's spaces, he always attends. So I always see him around. So then I got to like, okay, let me even see what this thing is about. Then I found out things like React, things like Tailwind, things like most of the tools I was using were actually open source. And it's like something that is out there and people can contribute to. So I got fascinated, and Oktoberfest hype came in. I was doing like October-ish. The hype came in. Yeah. I started like hearing about it, that you get free swags. So I was like, okay, yeah, let me actually
see what it's about.
So let me see what it's about. Yeah. So from there, I went in, and luckily for me, I was in Francesco's community and we were looking for somebody to maintain the website. So I just like volunteered and I was like, yeah, sure, let me maintain the website for Oktoberfest. And that was it. And my Oktoberfest was pretty much kind of smooth then because Francesco did a 12-hour live stream. And in that 12-hour live stream, I got my 4P I was merged. So that was like my Oktoberfest at 2022. And I was like, oh, this is fun. Let me continue doing this. And that was my journey into open source.
That's so interesting. Really, really interesting. Yeah. How far back was this? Like, what year was this?
Oh, this was last year, October 2022. Yeah.
2022. Oh, interesting. Yeah. Wow. That means you've made so much progress from last year up until this year. And I know that it's really amazing to see like how much you've progressed. And I know that you also spoke at the last CTGS conference that you spoke on, like how to 10 times your growth with learning in public. So I wasn't there and I want to hear about how building in public. I know you mentioned a bit of this, but has building in public, learning in public really helped your career?
Yeah, so one of the things about me here is that I like making connections with people online a lot. And I've been doing this since way back before my time in tech. I used to be like a nerd. I'm not sure if I'm still a nerd, but I used to like do all the science stuff and all these things. Okay. I used to be very active on Quora and answering people's questions, physics stuff, chemistry stuff, biology stuff. So so that was my niche. I was like this guy that loved making connections online and doing stuff. And on Quora, I was very popular too, but I just left it. I just left it for a while. So then, now coming into like tech and everything, I saw it as an avenue that, okay, this is something that people globally do. And there's Twitter where I can actually relate to these people. I mean, they write the same HTML, right? They write the same CSS, right? They write the same JavaScript, right? So, if we can relate on that level, that's something to talk about. Mm-hmm. So from there, I started like, okay, I'm doing this course, or I learned this new thing, or I want to try this new thing. Let me put it on Twitter, and then maybe use it to track my progress. So I found hashtag 100 days of code on Twitter, and I said it was something that people were doing a lot. So I just like basically followed the trend. I started from day one all the way to day 100. Sometimes I even combined days, maybe if I had bad internet connectivity, but I still did some things. So I just be like day 20, 21 or 22. This was what I did, so I listed out. So from there, I started like picking up pace. I joined communities, started open source, and every of these things that I'm talking about with you now, I put on Twitter. So sometimes I still go back to look at some of these old tweets to see how I was able to like go. I remember one time I was struggling with Postman. I laugh at it now, but I was actually struggling with Postman at some point in this journey. So I know these things is like a diary for me. I can make it a book sometime in the future because I've documented my progress and I've seen how I was able to overcome some things. Sometimes I write my solutions to things and be like, okay, this was where I was able to solve this under the tweet. So that is in public in general. And along the way, I made friends, made connections, joined communities. And all of these things in like short is what sort of helped me to grow in several aspects and also even to get a job because it was mostly through networking that somebody referred me for a role. It was like it was like straightforward and stuff like that. So that's like how I would put what learning in public and what the talk was about mostly. It was around these things that I did and stuff. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's really good because you just mentioned that putting stuff out there is like a diary for yourself. So you check it like 3 months down the line, 6 months down the line, you can easily track your progress and see how much you've grown. So it's very useful. I'm sure I always realize that many people are learning in quiet, and even when opportunities come, people do not really know how good you are till you put it out there. Whatever you're learning, people just have that perception that okay, this person is doing something great.
Exactly.
But if you're not putting it out there and it's just in your quiet space, no one
really
knows.
No one actually. Exactly. That's the point.
Yeah, that's the point. Exactly. You also mentioned that you're a student, you're studying computer science in Unilag, University of Lagos. So, and you're also doing really amazing things. So have you been able to combine school? I know computer science is not exactly an easy course to study in school.
No, it's not.
So
it's
how
not.
Do you combine the two and still, you know, do so well?
Yeah, so the thing is, and that's the good part of these things. Make friends with smart people. And make sure that people you are doing things with are actually putting yours in the same course as you or something. I think those were the two things that strategically placed me to be in the right spots. Obviously, I'm not like the best student in the class, but I have smart friends and I have people that are my colleagues as well that also do computer science with me. That are in the same class as me. So when it comes to time to actually like set a couple of hours aside to read, I go to tutorials too, I am now. I'm supposed to go to theater like maybe tomorrow. Me and a couple of guys study for like a bunch of hours. So I do all these things, studying things like data structures and algorithms. I already learned them from doing tech stuff. My guys, we do all those things like that. Other computer science concepts we learn because we have this notion of not making ourselves be normal software developers. So me and my friends always do some of these computer science things that we eventually still do in class. Already as like an industrial thing, just try to improve ourselves as software engineers. And the rest, we actually learn from class because computer science is very theoretical. So you still need to learn and read books, actually, because some lecturers are very... let me leave it that way. So some lecturers, are actually very, like strict and stuff. So you need to attend some, you need to attend classes. And so you also need to like, you know, read and prepare for tests, impromptu tests and all these things. So all these things, I still combine it in a way. My work, they know I'm a student, so they have the time I set aside. My work for open source is like natural already. So I can do it from anywhere. I can literally be on GitHub on my phone and be like, let me check out what's going on here. And so it just sort of like blends into my lifestyle, I guess. That's the way I mostly do it. And I still hang out with friends.
That's so good. You mentioned data science. I mean, you mentioned algorithms, data structures, and all of that.
Yeah.
I know when I was in bootcamp, those are like the concepts that I struggled with. I didn't come from a computer science background, but I was always running away from, oh my gosh. I was like, that point when they were teaching us data algorithms and data structures, I was almost quitting my bootcamp because I was like, what the heck is this? It's all supposed to understand this thing. And then go on lead code and all those coding challenges that they're giving you.
Yeah.
You just be like, God, how? But I haven't honestly gone back to all those concepts on my own. I'm just focused on my front-end engineering. But I can see how, you know, computer science concepts, like if I study computer science, it can really help you, you know, when you're becoming a software engineer. Or like the way you think and solve problems.
It'll be different. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. You're already used to it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You also talked about how someone referred you for your first job. Was that particularly your first job? Like, how exactly did you get that first job?
Oh, so yeah, my first job was January-ish. I didn't have a job. I was mostly doing stuff here at NITHUB. I used to teach. I teach front end. I've like stopped for a bit because other things. I'm trying to like balance everything. So I was like, oh no, let me not break myself. Let me just focus on these things because I know I can't, like, I can only stretch so far. I have a threshold that will break starts. So yeah, instead of like getting to that point, so I had to like drop some things. So now the way I got my first role was like a referral. Literally, I was watching Netflix. I watch Netflix a lot. That's how I chill. So he just called me up and I was like, Toby, do you know TypeScript? And I was like, yeah, sure, I know TypeScript. And then in 20 minutes, he was like, yeah, like, get ready. There's a meeting holding right now in the company, and I want to refer. And they're like interviewing candidates.
Who
and stuff.
How old you?
He was like, he's like a mentor to me. His name is Dario. He's like a mentor to me. So he just like called me up, and I was like, yeah, sure. And he hooked me up with the guy at the company that is supposed to link me up with the interviewer. So it's like a connection with a connection. Exactly. So I just like quickly ran, and I didn't even take my bath because that day I was like, okay, let me chill throughout today. So I just ran to the workspace. I was quiet and I had the meeting, and it was like, they were mostly asking me React stuff that I saw as easy. So yeah, I was like, okay, yeah, sure. And all these things. So And then I talked about my work in open source with them, and the front end lead there was like super, he was like excited. I was like, wow, I think I was already doing work for Million then. So I just like told him about Million and stuff. So he was like excited, like, okay, yeah, we need to get this guy. And like, it was a contract job though, because the way they were looking for somebody to work with them, because they were like on a sprint and they were trying to like deliver something. So they needed a contract front end guy to help them out. So, and like maybe 1 hour after the meeting, I just got a call from the PM and hiring manager, and they were like, yeah, we would like to go forward hiring you.
Interesting. Wow, that's so good.
They didn't ask for my CV. They didn't ask for anything. They literally just like interviewed me and stuff. And it was just a conversation. And I was interested in products because something I love. They do music stuff, music streaming, live streaming. So there were things I already was like, okay, this is very nice.
Funny,
I love
this. Yeah.
Yeah. So from there, I did the contract for them. It was a week's contract. I got paid at the end. They loved my work, so they were like, yeah, we'd like to offer you a full-time role. And yeah, that was it.
So are you working full-time with them now?
Yeah, I work full-time with them
now. That's really inspiring. I feel like a lot of people always undermine the power of networking or just the people, you know, the connections that you know.
Yeah. Because,
for example, someone like you didn't have to go through the regular, you know, job applications, submitting resumes, submitting cover letter, waiting and not hearing back, all of those nonsense job application processes, because those things can be very frustrating, you know.
Yeah.
Applying or hearing back and all of that, but for you it was the network, you had the person, and obviously because you had also been learning in public, people
could
see that this person
is actually good.
And it just helped you. You didn't have to go through all those unnecessary interview steps that you said interview four stages, and you'd just be frustrated. So that's like connecting with the right people, networking, and just putting yourself out there would really go a long way in helping people or helping you get a job.
Exactly. And after I actually started like working with them, I actually discovered that some of the things that I have built or that I even do naturally doing open source work actually came in handy. Things like using Git, using GitHub, things like being able to ask questions when you need to ask questions. Because when people get given tasks at times, they already start like thinking, okay, how do I like write the code and stuff? For example, if you're working in open source or building something like a tooling that that people are actively using in production and you're expecting feedback, there's a way you interact with people and be like, okay, what are the things, what are your requirements? You try to like table down, break things down, and the way you approach things are different because you don't think like a coder. You think like, how do I put this? Like somebody that wants to solve a problem or something like that.
Like an engineer.
open source builds that, builds that like, how would I put this? Build that personality into you. Like, and you know things like Git and GitHub for free, just in open source.
True. You already know all those tools. You know how to work with all those tools.
Exactly.
Let's backtrack. I'm interested in actually knowing what's prompted you to even be in tech
and
study computer science. Like, was there anyone, is it from when you were small or younger that you felt like, okay, I want to be an engineer? Or a lot of people growing up, we've all been taught that resumes and cover letters are the keys to landing a job. But I'm here to tell you that there's a far more powerful tool that hiring managers are actually paying attention to. Ready to hear it? It's called your portfolio site. That's right. While everyone else is tweaking fonts on their resume, your developer portfolio is how you can wow recruiters. It shows off your creativity and skills in a way that no boring resume could ever. But building a polished portfolio from scratch takes forever. I've created the ultimate portfolio site template that does all the heavy lifting for you, built with Next.js pages and Chakra UI. This portfolio site immediately introduces you to potential employers, highlighting your career achievements, gives them quick links to contact you, and check out all your socials and GitHub. All you need to do is make tweaks and deploy, and then you're good to go. Access the code for this portfolio site by visiting thefreelancehq.com/getmyportfolio. Even me, I remember when I was very small, I don't know why I felt like bankers are the ones that had the money, but I want to be a banker. So was it the same for you? Like, what exactly did you want to be growing up, and what prompted you to come to the software engineering field?
Oh, so me and software engineering, we had like no sort of connection or any inspiration, because I grew up in a place called Ikotun in Lagos here.
Mm-hmm.
And in Ikotun is like a suburb slash ghetto area ish. So I grew up there, spent my secondary school, primary school, primary, then secondary, then then I wrote my jump and stuff. So I, like I said, I used to be like a nerd and stuff. So I spent a lot of time, with books of my uncles and aunties, because I grew up with my grandparents. So they had like their books there when maybe, because they also schooled there. So they left some of their books around in the house. So I would like be playing. I had no friends, literally. It was just me and my grandparents. And so I would like reading books and, I was always curious, trying to like go around the house and scattering things and say, okay, what is here? And my dad actually did buy me a PC. So he bought me a PC, like this cathode ray 2 PC with Windows XP, and I had this janky UPS. So then I was like playing with Encarta kids and there's this one, Mavis Beacon. Yeah, I used to like play around with all those things, like learning to type words per minute, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the things I did like mostly on this PC. I didn't even know there was something called coding. Maybe I would have been a senior software engineer now. But yeah, I spent a lot of time with Windows, that like now I can use Windows like the back of my hand. So I know Windows a lot, like from Windows XP to 7 to 10 to using 11. I don't use Windows, like I haven't used Windows in a while. But yeah, like saying these things actually did build up technical part of me, where I was able to like use computers very well. But I still wasn't exposed to anything called software engineering. But I knew there was something called coding. Even applications on my phone that I got, or websites, I never even thought, okay, there could be actually something that builds this website. It didn't occur to me. So my exposure came when I came to the university, and I saw, and I think it was after Corona, when I came back, I saw that, okay, there were these people in my class that they call themselves front end, back end. So I was like, okay, what are you guys doing? So I tried to like meet one of the guys that was my friend, because before Corona, he was a normal guy in class. But like after, I saw that, okay, he was actually like using, he said he's always writing code and building websites. And so, okay, I was like, okay, how do you, yeah, okay. I was like curious, and I was asking him, like, you're telling me that this code you've written here with all these, just squiggly lines and everything is what's translating to this beautiful website. So I was like, yes. Like, he even sent me a link. I was like, oh wow, this is very nice. Are you sure it's this code that is running on my? so he's like, yes. So I was like, okay, how can I learn this thing? Then he gave me a couple of links on YouTube. I didn't really get it, because it wasn't in my thing. So it didn't make sense to me that I could write text to become code. So NetHub launched a bootcamp during the 8-month strike that we went on. So I was like, okay, I have to use this strike for something. So that was when I just signed up. And I used to come from Ogun State to Lagos State. I used to shuttle like every day. I think I was spending like 3,000 naira per day.
That's a lot of determination.
Yeah, I would like leave home by like 4. My dad used to leave very early to come to Lagos too. So we would leave together by 4 a.m. in the morning.
4 a.m.
Yeah, in the morning. And then I would get back. I used to get here before literally everybody that lives around. So this is Akoka. I'm coming from Ogun State, and I used to be the first to arrive here every day, every single day. So then I'll go. I'll get home by like 11 p.m. ish.
I'll be returning the next day.
Yeah. So I did that like it was like 3 times a week. Sometimes I'll even like tell them at home that we have something to do. At NETO. I used to say at NETO, but sometimes it was just me finding a way to get out of the house so I can come and use Wi-Fi, to maybe download
and practice videos and do something useful.
Exactly. So. And I did that for like 12 weeks. There were times when there was not even enough money for me to actually get food. So I would like go hungry from morning, then I'll come back at night, then I actually eat food at home. So yeah, I was just going through all these things, and that was pretty much the process. Then
wow.
That's
a lot. A lot of people don't see this behind the scenes. They just see Toby. They don't see that background story, that everything that you had to go through, the sacrifices that you had to make. So it's really inspiring. It's so inspiring. And now you're working as a developer advocate at MillionJS as well.
Let's
talk about MillionJS. I know you're very passionate about what they do, and the product is also very good. So for me, I work as a developer advocate as well. And a lot of times when people say, people that are non-techie, when they ask, what do you do? I just tell them I'm a software engineer or I'm a front-end engineer because even my parents, it took them a while to really understand. Even sometimes they're still like, what do you do? What exactly, what did you do today? So for you, how do you explain like what you do as a developer advocate to someone that doesn't even have an idea?
Yeah, so with my grandparents, it might be a trouble because I haven't actually told them what I do. But I send them money every day.
Yeah, the money part is the exciting part for them.
I send them money every end of the month and they just call to pray. And I don't we never actually discussed what I do. My dad has an idea because he's tech inclined. So okay. he knows some of these things. But developer advocacy is something that he doesn't really get, but he kind of gets because he's, as I said, he's tech inclined. But my mom, we haven't actually ever discussed it. She just knows I hang out with a lot of foreign people. Like, I don't want to use any other words here. So yeah. She just hang out with a lot of foreign people. And I have friends abroad. And I also write code at times. But she doesn't really know.
We don't talk about that part. Thing that you do.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So that's the way I like explain to them. I just tell them that, okay, I build websites or applications. They understand applications because they have forms. Mm-hmm. And they use all these smartphones. So yeah, it's okay. Yeah, okay. It makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. You build websites. Maybe that's why I'll say, so I wouldn't say software engineer, because software engineer may never make sense to some people. I'll just tell them I build websites, web applications. Yeah. That's cool. And we also mentioned that your role at MillionJS is an unpaid role. So
yeah, it is.
I know that's working for a company that, and you know, you're doing so much work, doing excellent work, and mm-hmm. it's unpaid, like there's no financial rewards, at least at mm-hmm. that point. It's not mm-hmm. easy. It requires a certain level of motivation for you to keep doing your best. So what motivates you to, you know, do this?
So like I said, open source is something that really resonates with me and vibes with me, because it's something that I see as okay, you're doing something and you're building stuff that you can actually ship to people all over the world, like people from Australia, as far as it is, can be using my work. Okay, I like this. So that was one of the reasons that like that motivates me to do open source work. But for Million, I think it's more or less about like the technology. Yeah. So okay. Performance is something that I've always like been curious about. So I've used applications in the past, even when I was like a child, using all some of these applications. My laptop always freezes. I try to load things like so hard to load and all those things. So performance is something that I don't think about, but it's something that I like, okay, why is this thing slow? So I think that ideology that I have as a person is something that sort of like ties into what Million does. So Million does performance optimizations. Mm-hmm. And that is something that, okay, this is something I'm actually, I don't know, it was just innate. When I saw the technology, I was like, okay, this is something that I really like, wow, this is amazing. And I get to be able to use this because I'm a React developer and I do front end. So it makes sense to me that, okay, now I should, if I add something like this where I can educate developers on having to think about performance in their workflow, not making it an afterthought. Maybe you build the application, they are now thinking, okay, how is somebody on a small phone that is using a small or a Chromebook or something very tiny, load a website at the same speed. You are using a MacBook, you might not notice it because you are trying to like, okay, you just build your own website, you test in dev. It does in prod is good, but somebody might be on a low end device and they're trying to use the same things and access it. That's like an accessibility problem because they cannot access this website because the performance of your application is might be good maybe on some devices, but on low end devices and devices that with poor connections and all those things, mm-hmm. your engine is slow, the experience is bad and all those things. So that is what motivates me to actually do what I do at Million. And then there's always the occasional feedback and the occasional bug reports, and then the thanks from people that, okay, I thank you for this. I use this in my for a client and improve performance by this. They show me lighthouse calls and all those things. So we see it on the server every day. So all these things kind of like motivates me. So I don't think about the money that much and all those things because it's just money is like a consequence. If you think about it in the end, if you do really good work, money is like a consequence that happens to you. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's what I think about it.
What you said is so useful because I can totally relate. I remember when I was also working as a developer advocate at Chakra UI, for example, mm-hmm. I really liked the product for me, like building UIs, you know, using style props. And it was also unpaid for a long time. And, you know, mm-hmm. this, I really learned a lot on the job.
Yeah,
you know,
you would.
It was Chakra UI that really gave me my first video making experience, because
wow.
I had to make videos for Chakra UI. I organized hackathons for Chakra UI. So all of that experience has now helped me get my first paid developer advocate role. So I think a lot of people just maybe neglect, you know, just
focus on the
opportunities.
Money.
Exactly, they focus on money and they neglect opportunities that are not paid.
I mean, I'm talking to
opportunities
you.
Actually
I mean,
give you larger, you know, larger platforms for you to now get all the money.
It requires like a certain level of like thinking from a different perspective, you know. You're right. Like, but there are circumstances that also make people think about money as well. But
yeah,
at times,
definitely. Like, you can make. I could do that because I already had some money and I was also comfortable to some extent. But definitely, you know, circumstances could make people. But it's just important to know that if you have an opportunity that is unpaid and you can see that, you can definitely see a learning progression. Then take it. Gradually wrapping up now, but I know you mentioned that last year was like your first Hacktoberfest event where you you know, you like, what's the word, I can't remember, but you contributed to open source. So what has been some of the challenges that you faced, as whether coding challenges that you faced or even learning, or even on the job? Have you ever had to struggle with imposter syndrome, where people sort of expect you to know something and like you don't know? So how exactly do you deal with things like that?
Imposter syndrome happens to me so much, and I but for me, I don't think that deeply about it, because it happened to me so much for a certain period of my life where I spent so much time on tutorials. I mean, I think I said in that comment where okay, let's go with the 7-hour one that I told you. I've sat through a 16 playlist video before. Like, I literally sat down and I finished a playlist of 16 videos in one sitting.
What were you learning?
I was learning Firebase, but then what I was learning from the video was actually Firebase 8. So it turns out that after I finished watching all the videos, there was already Firebase 9. So the syntax has changed.
Oh my god.
so that was like, but I was still able to like, okay, maybe I eventually went back to the docs to go and read the docs and try to change things. Okay, this is the new syntax, this is the new way you use it, and all those things. So yeah, those were some of the things I went through, and that in a way, though I did learn some things from some tutorials, but some things I, now looking back, I feel like I could have actually learned in through another means, or maybe by like trying stuff. But at times when I face imposter syndrome, maybe while doing something, maybe I get stuck. Because when you get stuck is when you actually start thinking about all these things. So in those times, I simply ask for help, because I know I'm not the best. Obviously, there are like developers that are like 2,000 times better than me out there. And there are people that are 100 times better than me. There are people that are 10 times better than me. So think of that progression. There are people that are 2 times better than you as well. So just reach out
and
there ask
people
for
that
help.
Are also better than.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah. So just reach out for help and be like, okay, sorry, I'm trying to do this thing. I have mentors. Like, I have this mentor, her name is Esther. She's a senior front end engineer. So she, at times I like jump on calls with her, because I think she stays on the island. So I like reach out to her, like, okay, please, I need to implement this thing. I'm trying to get this thing. So she's like, okay, sure. Let me jump on the call with you and show you how to do this thing. So I reach out to people like that. My friend, my roommate too, is also a developer. He's also good. So I reach out to him and show him some things that, okay, help me check this thing out. So asking for help doesn't make you weak. It only makes you stronger, because in the end, when you are done, you know that thing. And then somebody else can come to you for help, and you're already like, okay, I know this stuff. And then you still face more challenges. Challenges are normal. It's like in the job description of what we do in tech, you need to face challenges, because what will you be doing in tech if you're chilling?
If you're chilling, if you're not fixing bugs.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Like, ask for help. Don't ever get shy. Even if it's a stupid question, it's a silly question.
Yeah.
Still ask. The worst is that people would laugh at you, but you eventually get answers to that question.
Exactly.
Depending. I remember In my first, like my early days of, you know, learning, I used to feel scared of just asking questions because I'm like, I don't want someone to feel like, oh, I'm dull or I'm daft or all of those, you know, so many thoughts are just going through your mind, especially when you feel that this is supposed to be a simple thing. But at the end of the day, it's important to also have people around that you can always reach out to, ask questions.
Joining communities and stuff. Yeah,
exactly. Communities are so important so you don't feel alone. They kind of give a sense of belonging, and everyone, you realize that that question you're about to ask is in the mind of five other people. You're just the boldest person. Exactly. I don't understand.
exactly.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So always ask questions. So now what level are you in school?
Oh, I'm in 300 now.
Okay, nice. And computer science, 4 or 5 years. 5 years, I think.
It's 5 years. Yeah, years. Yeah,
so how do you envision, like, your career progression in the next 2 or 3 years? Leaving school, do you have, like, some plans already in mind? If you don't mind sharing at least one or two, I know you may want to keep some secret, but if you don't mind sharing, like, one or two.
Yeah, so for me, I think about the ecosystem, and I see what happens in the ecosystem of tech in Nigeria to be specific. And I see that we have a lot of consumer developers and we don't have builder developers.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, if you think about, for example, Chakra UI is like a very good exception of something that is different, because that came from a Nigerian and people all over the world are using it. But most of the other people who have the ecosystem are people that, okay, they only want to use. They want to NPM install React, want to React, delete their code base tomorrow. What happens?
And all those things.
So, exactly. All those things. So I'm thinking in that direction. But then there's also the thing of like chasing FANG and Fortune 500 companies. That is also good though, but it's not really the ideal thing I want to do in tech. What I want to do in tech is work in open source, do indie hacking, building in public. These are some of the things that I see as my own path in tech, because I want to be like building stuff and use and like shipping stuff out that people all over the world use. That is my what I see as my ideal progression. Being in tech, you can do a 9-to-5 job, yeah, that's also good, and you make money monthly, but you can actually still do these things and still make more money or make more name for yourself. And these companies I want to hire you that you were going to apply for would actually be calling you to come and integrate your technology in their companies. So yeah, I think that is what I see as how I want to go about in like this tech part. And I think it's something that we should build more in the minds of people that are coming to tech or people that are in tech or people that work in tech in the ecosystem in Nigeria. Instead of us shipping our developers out, why don't we build a community around here where we have builders that also ship products instead of shipping developers from the ecosystem? Yeah, so. Oh,
that's so good. That's so good. And the final question, what's one advice that you give to anyone looking to start their tech journey? And like, what would you say they should be doing?
So if you're looking to start your tech journey, I would advise two things. Pick a niche that if somebody wakes you up from sleep with a slap and they ask you a question that, okay, do you know this stuff? Do this stuff for me in two minutes. You're like, okay, I can get it done for you in 5 minutes. And then that 5 minutes, you finish maybe before 3 minutes. That is what you should be thinking about in tech. In tech, when you start out as a beginner, there are so many resources, so many parts. You might think of game, right? Okay, I like game development. I want to go around up. You go and learn C++, and you find out, okay, it's too hard, or maybe it's not your thing. You say, some people say it's not their thing, when in reality, it's probably just hard, and they can feel like they can't get over it, or the community is not there to back them, or there's no support as well. So, but I think for me, wild advice is pick a part. I know that, okay, this is what I want to do. I love this. And these are the reasons why I think this would be something that aligns with me as a person. Stick to it, because challenges will come and you'll have to overcome them. It's just natural. It's part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
And don't feel down. Just like, okay, just be like, okay, I can do this. Reach out and be in a community that of people that do the same thing that you do. So that when you face challenges, you can face them head on together. They can help you out. You can reach out to seniors together. Be like, okay, we face this thing. We are like trying to resolve this. It's part of the journey that you still use to grow as an engineer. And then in the end, make connections. Go to events, make connections online, make sure you know people, because your network is your net worth in the end. Because the more people you know, the access to things that you would have eventually. And you know, it's different, because if you have connection, to a person in a place, that person can obviously help you out. I'll be like, okay, yeah, I know this person. Obviously, I can help you out and all these things. So, yeah, build your connection, build your skills, so that when opportunities come, your skills will not be a barrier for those opportunities. That's my advice.
Nice, really nice and sound advice. Thank you Toby. Congratulations on everything you've achieved. I'm really looking forward to seeing, you know, your journey unfold, and wishing you all the very best. Yeah,
thank you.
I really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you again for joining me, and I'm sure a lot of people have learned so much from everything you've shared. So till next time, everyone, and see you in another episode. Bye.